Today is Saturday, the 6th of January 2024, and we are all gathered here for the 114th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune and benefit, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero joining into today's session representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery. Therefore, on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Bhante with great respect to today's session. Today is the first session of the new year, and I would also like to wish you all a happy and mindful year ahead. And furthermore, I would like to also welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and through the live stream via Facebook. Our session will start with the in-session practice guided by Venerable Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness for the scheduled topic today, and then we will move on to the question and answer session. And towards the second half of the question and answer session, we can allow you time to raise any questions, any verbal questions you may have about mindfulness practice. So we will move on to the in-session practice, and therefore I would like to invite Bhante to commence the in-session guided practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Good day, everybody. So today we are starting another session, and we are meeting for the very first time in 2024. So let me start wishing you a happy new year. And today we'll try and see how we can relate our practice, the practice of mindfulness, to this new year, the things that we have to face, the difficulties we have to face, how we can face them more successfully with this practice, right? So to start today's session, let's do a small activity. For this, you need a piece of paper and a pen. So just try to gather a piece of paper and a pen. And if you are ready, you can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready. Seems like most of you are ready. Okay, then we'll start the activity. Now you have a piece of paper. Just divide that piece of paper into two parts. You can just divide it into two parts, and we are going to reflect about the past few days. We have passed a few days in the new year. So we are going to reflect about the past week. And we are going to write few ups and downs that we experienced. You have two parts in your paper. In the left side, you can write the ups that you experience. On the right side, you can write the downs that you experience. Only during the past year. During the time that you spent in this new year, 2024. Just take few minutes to write few things that you experience. Some of them are positives, some of them are negatives. Or some of them are happy moments, some of them are sad, depressed moments. I think by now you may have some notes with you about the past few days that we have spent in year 2024. And in these notes, you have certain happy moments, highs that you experienced, and certain sad, depressed moments, the lows that you experienced. If anybody would like to share your experience with the group, then we'll have some discussion about it. Panchani, yes, go ahead.
Asrai Bante, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. This is a good time, actually, to share my experiences. Some of them are really deep suffering. Some of them are really highs. I'll start with my highs, I guess. I have been experiencing really deep stillness in meditation. Feeling really joyous since my husband left me. He's having a training that I couldn't give him for 31 years. He's having to get up at 3 a.m. to make khanda. He is having to scrape coconuts, squeeze milk, and having to cook for everybody. Hasn't done that for 31 years. So when he said that to me, I was like hitting cloud nine. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be happy about it. But yeah, these have been the highlights of my new year. Yeah, the care I received from my children since my husband left. Aversion for him leaving, then turning it towards compassion. Colleagues at work really being there for me and really feeling connections with other people that are suffering like me. Deeply connecting with them. But on the negatives, at certain points, really throbbing pain in the heart. Like it cannot be explained. It's coming from deep within. Crying on the streets. But then soon the tears fall into some sort of a joyous feeling. Thoughts about the future, anxieties coming in, but then in meditation, them disappearing. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Okay, thanks for sharing. I think that's a good experience about highs and lows. It's been only a few days in the new year, and we have gone through these experiences. Maybe for you, it started in the latter part of 2023. Anyway, this is how we feel. Sometimes there are highs, sometimes there are lows. And always different experiences come, different incidents happen. So in a way, among this chaos, you try to find light. Among this chaos, you're trying to find, you know, some way of surviving, functioning. So it's good to have some kind of, you know, sarcasm about his condition. And, you know, just laugh. That's good. That's fine. That's how life is. Pollyanna says, something to be glad. Glad game. Whatever happens, if you search enough, if you look enough, then you can find something to be glad. So in a way, we are playing a glad game. When bad things happen, we can find a good behind that. If you look hard enough, if you search enough, you can find something to be glad about in that bad situation. Okay, thank you for sharing. Then we have Chamari.
Avasarai Bante. So I had positive and or happy thoughts of coming up to 2024 or the first week of 2024, knowing that the pictures were coming from Sri Lanka, where three of us got together, one in Sri Lanka organizing it, just giving lunch and some dry rations and stuff that they needed for old people's home in rural, I think, Kalutara. So the pictures were coming in the first few days, and they were really, really good to see them with the happy faces. I seem to have written all of the positive things as donations or giving someone going to all of the others. But not negative or depressing, but learning about myself or the habits. Unlike other years, I have left the self-assessment tax form until the last minute, and I did it yesterday. And the first few days of the year, sorry, was taken up by this low level anxiety and then going up. I think what was happening where there were opportunities to adjust things, and I'm learning about my own greed. I could, oh, there is a loophole here. I could actually use it and then pay less tax. So those feelings were coming up, and I didn't have to fight it, but I recognized it in me, and it really helped. but I noted it in me, because I try not to do that kind of thing in other areas, but here I was caught. Then there were situations where the aversion was coming in, catching it just as it was happening or just before, still most of the time afterwards, and kind of making a determination to do something different. Those are my experiences.
Okay, thanks for sharing. As you mentioned, when you being generous, you get a high natural high. It is called a helper's high. So that's something that we get when we help others, when we are being generous. Naturally, we get this high, happy feeling, right? And certain occasions, although you are generous in certain occasions, sometimes these greedy feelings are also there. That's natural. That's how our mind works. So you don't have to fight this greedy feeling. You don't have to fight the greed. Instead, just take note of it. Just acknowledge it. That's what you have done. So that's good. We are not fighting it. Instead, we know that this is there. We know that these feelings are there. That very knowing is important. Whether we go through the highs or whether we go through the lows, just experience them, just witness them, just acknowledge them. That's the very idea. Even being generous, if you really pay attention, you might see certain ways, even while doing a generous task, even while helping somebody, we are being greedy in our mind. We sometimes expect that by doing this, other people will appreciate me. Other people will, you know, compliment me. So those things are there, those thoughts are there. But we are not going to fight them. Instead, we simply acknowledge. We simply witness. That very knowing is what we are practicing. So just keep observing, keep witnessing these different phases, highs and lows in life. Then we have Neelamani's iPhone. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. I have some ups and downs noted. I had some meditation done. That was a very good up, I would like to say. And then some very relaxing time also. My birthday was on end of last month, but then I'm still getting the wishes, heart tendering wishes from everybody. So that was okay. I prepare for my lectures. That's also I enjoy very much doing. Downs are few, but then okay. Not received any payments, only one payment for the last year's lectures in for all faculties. There was an explosion, actually. I mean, we are in for a court case where we owned the land of 12 acres and people had one party encroached it, but then we are going to the case what they have put, and my husband thinks it all might do it's because of me it had happened. So okay, that was there. Other than that, okay, I have been enjoying looking at the grandchildren, so what they are doing and so forth. So those are the ups and downs I have had up to now. Thank you very much for the time given.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now that's how it is. It's good to have, you know, the birthday towards the year end. So still you are receiving the wishes. That's very nice. And meditation, teaching others, those things are happy moments. Those things could give you a high if you are enjoying them. So I too was thinking what to write. And I had those too. Meditation, you get a high feeling. It makes you relaxed, peaceful. So that's one of my things as well. Then teaching people. If you are enjoying it, if you are happy with it, then that's a good high in one's life. Then I have one more thing, the workouts. When I get to do certain things, duties here. Like Panchani mentioned, the monastic life is not easy. So you have certain duties, heavy duty tasks to do. So when I do these things, I get that high, happy feeling. That's another thing I have. So in my list, I had three things. Those are the happy ones. Then the laws. I have one, that low energy. I'm struggling with energy these days. It's really difficult to, you know, maintain energy. Sometimes it feels like, you know, doing nothing. Sometimes it goes up and, you know, I can do a lot of things. So I'm just observing that up and down in my energy. And sometimes irritated. That too also there. So those are the laws in my list. So this way, it's been only a few days, but still we are experiencing so many ups and downs, highs and lows in life. So my point being, the point I want to make in this activity is that it's been only a few days, but this is life. This is the way of life. Certain highs are there, certain lows are there. Always it is going positive and negative. That's how it is. So that with that idea, we have so many highs and lows in our life. With that idea, we can move forward to the next part of our program. If anybody else wants to add something, we can take a few seconds. Otherwise, we are moving forward.
Okay, Bhante, thank you and much merits to Bhante. And also thank you very much for those who expressed their pluses and minuses in the last few days since the new year has begun. And I would like to invite Venerable Bhante again to commence with the talk scheduled for today. Over to Bhante again.
Okay, Naman, thanks. Right, now we had done that activity just before. And in that activity, we could see how many highs and lows that we have experienced for this week. You know, it's been only few days and we have experienced so many highs and lows during those few days. So this is the world. This is the life. When it comes to life, we are doing certain things. It's more like, you know, vanity fair of life. It's a never-ending fair held in the town of vanity. That's the metaphor given for our worldly affairs. We are always busy with our worldly affairs. It's never-ending. Similar to the never-ending fair in the town of vanity, our lives also, it's never ending. We have so many worldly affairs. We are overwhelmed by them. We are exhausted by them. But again, tomorrow you start with a fresh mind. Again and again, you are doing the same thing. Again and again, you are having these ups and downs in life. So this is the life that we are doing. Always doing certain things, busy with the worldly affairs, having not enough time to complete them, having so much, putting in so much effort to complete them. So this way, we keep ourselves busy with the worldly affairs. This is the life that we live. When we live that life, it is natural that we are experiencing highs at certain moments, and we are experiencing lows at certain moments. This way, we keep striving in our lives. Now, when we see this, in a way, our life is a split. It's a split between two extremes. Sometimes we are feeling the high. Sometimes we are feeling the lows. Sometimes at certain points, we are elated from these experiences. At certain points, we are depressed from these experiences. So this is how we live. This is what we do. In a way, like we are riding a seesaw. Sometimes it goes up. Sometimes it goes down. This is the nature of our experience. This is the nature of our mind. It's a split mind between highs and lows. Now, even the non-meditators, sometimes when you deal with them, you realize one moment they are happy. Next moment, they are sad. Especially when it comes like family affairs, this moment they are happy, next moment they are sad. This moment they are elated, next moment they are depressed. So in a way, they experience these two extremes in their lives. This is our mind. This is the split mind that we have. Always we go to the two extremes. We don't appreciate the middle. In a way, we don't appreciate when we ride a seesaw, we don't appreciate the middle part. Instead, we prefer the furthest ends. It goes up and down, highs and lows, that we appreciate. We have no intention, we have no attention about the middle part, which is not moving. Usually, we notice the two extremes, highs and lows, that we notice. In psychology, there's this mental disease called bipolar disease. Highest of highs and lowest of lows. For a certain period, you are experiencing the highest of highs. You are elated and you feel like you are on drugs or something. And for a few days, for certain periods, you are experiencing lowest of lows. You are utterly depressed and you feel suicidal for few days, few weeks sometimes. So the people who are suffering with the disease, they share their experience. When they are in that high phase, they feel like they are some kind of a god or something. They can do anything. Some people think they can even fly. But when they are experiencing the low part, lowest phase, the lowest of lows, they say that they feel so depressed. They can't function. They can't do anything. They feel suicidal. Right? So that's more like a diagnosis, a disease. But what I want to get at is that even in our mind, we experience these highs and lows. This is our mind. That's how it works. Maybe not up to that extreme, that they experience with that disease. But still, even our lives, we experience these highs and lows. One moment you are happy, next moment you are sad. So you have to ask, who are you? One moment you are happy, next moment you are sad. Which represent you? Right? So that's the real question that we are asking. In a way, when we practice mindfulness, we non-judgmentally try to observe this process. That's why even during the activity, we mentioned that we are witnessing this. Okay, now I am experiencing the highs. Now I am experiencing the lows. That very witnessing, that very knowing is important. Otherwise, what happens is that when it is high, we get caught in that. When it is low, we get caught in that. When we are caught, due to that situation, due to that feeling, we do certain things. In a way, we energize that process in our mind more and more. We support that process in our mind more and more. When you are attracted to the highs, you try to find more and more high opportunities. More and more ups you want to find. When you are having aversion towards those lows, somehow you want to get rid of it. That way we function. That's why in this world, it says that people are after pain-pleasure principle. They want to minimize or get rid of pain. They want to maximize or create pleasure. That's the usual behavior of the worldly people. But in this practice, we recommend being aware. We are not judging the situation. Non-judgmentally, we try to be aware. Okay, I'm experiencing these highs. I'm witnessing these highs. That very acknowledgement is important. So time to time, we get attached to the highs. But again, we just know that this is there. And when we experience the lows, instead of fighting that low, we just notice that we are experiencing these lows, downs in our lives. We, time to time, we feel the aversion rising about this situation. But we keep observing, experiencing, witnessing that situation. So this way, we introduce the practice of mindfulness to our life. That is what we do. Instead of just getting caught in those situations, we try to be aware, we try to witness, we try to experience it more and more. That very witnessing, that very practice of awareness is important. That is what we do. So for a newcomer, for a practitioner, we say, just start being aware. Just start being aware. Just experience what is happening in the present moment. When that happens, maybe for a beginner, naturally, the mind goes crazy sometimes. Now, there was this person who came for meditation a few weeks ago. And that person was meditating or doing a residential meditation for the very first time. Stayed here 3-4 days. And during that time, the experience was amazing. That person was saying, a whole new window in my mind I have experienced. I have never seen this type of a situation or a window in my mind. I can't even remember my usual way of living. I can't even remember my family members. Instead, I feel My mind is totally going through some kind of a situation. It feels like a movie. It feels like that I am watching a movie. The scenes in this movie are the scenes from my entire life. Starting from the childhood till today, all the situations, all the incidents, all the highs and lows are mixed together in this movie. And as soon as I sit, I start experiencing this. When I start walking, I experience this. I can't even remember my work. I can't even remember my family. I can't even recall what I was doing. But I experience this movie repeatedly playing in my mind. This movie consists the highs. This movie consists the lows. Throughout my life, these things happened. Now I am reliving those situations. Now I am experiencing them again in my mind with this meditation. So this person is sharing experience about this residential meditation only for 3-4 days. But during that time, the meditator could feel that mind goes to the highs, mind goes to the lows. One moment you are happy, one moment you are sad. That extreme change is happening. Again and again, you start to experience this split mind. Mind is split. It's stuck between two extremes. It goes up and down, or goes to the highs and goes to the lows. Again and again, it is changing, shifting. Right? So when we experience this type of a thing in meditation, we say, this is not good. The very first reaction is to run for your dear life. That's what most people do. Right? They sometimes, without even informing, they leave the place. They go back to their usual day-to-day things. Now, even a few days ago, a person came. His idea was to become a monk here. I have met so many people who came for that purpose. So I am not taking them seriously, because always they come with a new form, saying a large story about their life, and they say that they want to become a monk. So we say, okay, good. That's a good idea. Just stay for a few days. Just stay for a few days. If they can at least survive a week or two, that's good. Most people, they don't even survive a week. So this person, he left after 2 days. He had good reasoning to leave. Now, some kind of a reasoning, a funny reasoning they come up with. They said, due to this, I can't do this at the moment. I'll go home, I'll fix these things, I'll come back. That's what they say, right? So when you start this type of a practice, you start to experience these highs and lows in your mind. It is natural that you feel that you want to run for your dear life. Most people do. But the proper advice is that you have to somehow create the ability, somehow create the strength, and just be patient with this process. You have to go through this process. That is the only solution. When you start the practice, this happens. In your usual life, of course, you experience highs and lows. But most of the time, you are ignorant and you somehow survive. But for a meditator, it becomes really difficult, because all the things are agitated. All the memories come to the mind. All the situations, dark incidents, they start coming. So when this entire movie is playing in your mind, you are experiencing one moment you feel the highest of highs, next moment you feel the lowest of lows. The idea is that you have to somehow go through this experience. You have to have the strength to face it somehow, accept it somehow. So that way, you have to continue your practice. Do the walking, maybe walk at a higher pace, just, you know, sweat a little bit. That way, you start your walking, continue for some time. Gradually, when your mind settles down, the walking also settles down. If your mind is agitated, you walk in a higher pace, you walk agitated. But when the mind settles, the walking body also settles into a certain pace, right? So that way, you somehow courageously face this situation. You go to the sitting session, you get these bodily aches, pains, mental images, thoughts, memories, all these things. But somehow you survive that sitting session and continue to practice. So this way, in a way, we feel like that we have gone crazy. That is natural. That is natural. Especially if you come to a residential stay, then you start to feel this. Maybe during, you know, 1 hour of meditation at home, you might not feel this a lot. But if you stay for a few days, few weeks, few months, few years, then you start to feel this very much. The longer the period, harder it's going to be in the beginning. That's why when people come for monkhood, they experience the worst situation in their mind. The first few weeks, first few months, it's terrible. Because they don't have any arrangement to return home. Once you don't have any arrangement, you can see the real situation in your mind. You can really see what this mind is all about. So that very experience we are having during the meditation. It's natural that you start thinking, it's natural that you feel that you are about to go crazy. But this is the very process that we have to go through. In a way, you are becoming more and more sane. This is the closest you have been to the sanity. Why? Now you are not caught in that process. Instead of being caught, now you become the observer. When you become the observer, it's not easy in the beginning. But if you continue for a few days, few weeks, few months, then you realize these highs and lows, they reduce in intensity. They start to reduce in intensity. That's what happens. Usually, when we talk about meditation, most people expect that they will go away. These highs and lows will go away. No, instead what happens is that you still experience the highs and lows, but they reduce in intensity. When the intensity is not there, when that energy is not there, experiencing or surviving that high or the low is not that much of a problem. So that's what happens in your meditation. That's what happens for a meditator. In a way, your mind gets detached from this process. That detachment is the reason that you experience lower intensity. Initially, the mind struggles to detach from this process. That's why you have to suffer so much. That's why you feel like you are about to go crazy. But with time, what happens is that now you realize this is the closest you have been to sanity. Right? So that way, we continue. This detachment, this distance is created in your mind. When that happens, you realize the highs and lows are still there. They are still there, but I don't feel that intensity. I don't feel that surge of energy in them. So that is very good. That's a sign that you are progressing in your meditation. In a way, what is happening? Now, instead of those two extremes of the seesaw, you are moving more and more to the middle. The middle part is not moving. We haven't appreciated that part. That's more like, you know, tranquility. That's more like neutral. We don't like neutral. Usually the world says you have to either select positive or negative. You can't be neutral. No neutral countries in this world. Switzerland has been a neutral country, but now they are taking a part. That way, so it's difficult for us to accept this neutral feeling. But more you meditate, more and more you practice, you start to realize, now my mind is creating a distance from this situation. And when that happens, it starts to appreciate this neutral feeling. Your mind is moving away from the two extremes and moving towards the center, which is a neutral feeling, which feels like tranquility. But what happens to a meditator is that usually they get caught in this neutral feeling. They think the middle or the center is real. They want to always be peaceful. They want to always have this tranquility in their mind. They always want to be neutral in their mind. That's a way to get caught in the same process. Now you are giving up the two extremes, but you are holding on to the middle. Middle is the neutral. Middle is the tranquility. Middle is the peace. If you hold on to the middle, that too is getting caught in the same very process. So for a meditator, we have to again and again advise, it's good that you have peace in your mind. It's good that you have tranquility in your mind. But don't get attached to it. Instead, again and again, you have to let the mind go to those two extremes. When highs come, don't get attached to them. When lows come, don't have aversion towards them. Instead, just experience. This mind is always moving to these extremes. Although I appreciate the neutral feeling, although I appreciate the tranquility, that's not permanent. That neutral feeling is not permanent. That tranquility is not permanent. That very advice is important. Otherwise, most of the meditators, they get caught in the middle. When they get caught in the middle, it's even harder for them to let go. Two extremes, you can at least feel the ups and downs. It's easier to let go of those two extremes. But when you get caught in the middle, it's even harder. So this way, we continue our practice. We allow our mind to move to the highs. We allow our mind to move to the lows. But again and again, continue with our practice. When you move to the highs, notice how your mind is attached to that part. When you move towards the lows, notice the aversion for that loss. That notice, that observation is very important. That will tell you how much you are attached to the middle. that aversion to the lows, that attachment to the highs, it will show you your very attachment to the middle. So that way, we have to continue our meditation. When we continue that way, in a way, we have to go through 1001 experiences. You don't have to look for them. Instead, when you live your life, it doesn't matter whether you live in a monastery or it doesn't matter whether you live in a city, you will always experience these highs and lows. People will come looking for you and create troubles. Certain things will happen without any planning. Certain things will happen that you didn't expect. So when such things happen, naturally you feel the highs, naturally you feel the lows. You have to somehow experience them, somehow go through them, supporting your meditation. When that happens, you realize in a way, you are experiencing these highs and lows in your mind, but you feel like you are frozen. Your mind is not moved by them. That very experience is real. You feel the pain, you feel the pleasure, but next moment it is gone. Next moment it is gone. Your mind is not so much moved by them. There's a distance created. There's a detachment created. So that's the result of continuous practice. Now you realize you are detaching from this very process. That detachment is the real peace. That detachment is what we are after. You have to gradually attain it. It takes a lot of effort. It's a painstaking process, but it's a worth process to go through. So this way, we again and again keep practicing. We experience highs, we experience lows. This very experience will bring us so many teachings. Or your very path is developed by these experiences. People come and make trouble. They do certain things that you didn't expect. So when such things happen, take it as a life lesson. Go through it as a life lesson. When so many difficulties come, it's a good sign that your practice, you can improve with this situation. That way you have to face whatever happens in life. Take it as a lesson or take it as an opportunity for you to practice. In 2024 also, you'll get so many opportunities to practice. Instead of fighting them, just accept it and try to continue with your practice. Try to see how you can use this practice in such a situation. What can you learn about your life? Instead of fighting the outside people, instead of fighting the outside situations, what can you learn about yourself? What can you learn about your mind? That very observation is what we are after. Not observing the outside people or the situations. Instead, we know, while I'm doing this, while I'm facing this, this is how mind works. You start to see so many different layers of your mind. Sometimes you try to be generous. That's the most prominent layer. But if you really look, really observe, you see certain other layers are also there. Sometimes you are after fame with this incident. Sometimes there's greed in your mind. So those layers, but for a meditator, they start to see, while I'm doing this, I can see different layers in my mind. They are contradictory. they are functioning in different ways, but that very observation is important. We get to know that this is happening, we are experiencing, we are witnessing. That way, if you continue, you'll experience so many highs and so many lows in your life. But those very experiences will allow you to find the real peace within. So with that, we are ending today's talk. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much thanks to Bhante. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session, and I will share the screen for the beginner's guide and put the texts into the chat section.
Thank you, Namanga. I was Sarai Bhante. Wishes for a mindful and happy 2024 for everyone. I will quickly run through the beginner's guide for anyone who's watching or listening for the first time or joining us for the first time. So there are two videos that are given to us as guidance from Nisaranamaneya, one about mindful walking and the other about mindful sitting. The links are on the chat if anyone would like to use them, or send it to one of your friends who would want to start meditating for the new year as well. So guidance is to build up, start from any amount of time and build up to an hour each or 2 hours for each practice, and on a daily basis. And then once you have experienced it for yourself, put it down on a report for us, for all of our benefits, and for you to get some feedback. We will present it to Bhante and get some feedback from him. You can send it to us via the Google form as on the chat, and also from via email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. You could also email it to any of us, or send it via Facebook, or send it to us on the chat and we can present it however you like it. And also, if anyone would like to listen to any of the recordings later on, the link is given here, and contact any one of us. We will send you the link or details to any of our sessions. Now I will move on to the reports. We have two reports received today, and I will start with the first one. Sitting meditation, noted seated posture, noting position of straight back, pressure on cushion, position of hands, temperature of hands, cold sensation all over body, but warm areas of neck noted. Mind then went into breath before it broke up and disappeared. Notice some sounds and observed gaps between them. Then mind went to hands again, sneezed and coughed, slight irritation in throat, noted. Some thoughts coming and going, observed sleepy sensation, mind went to breath, a space appeared and spread. Mind very peaceful. Noted body leaning towards from one side to the other. Adjusted it to sitting symmetrically again. Mindfulness in the day. Observed feet when walking around in the house. Temperature of hands cold compared to the warmth of the morning hot drink. Runny nose and a mild sore throat also noted. Thoughts arising before speaking. Pressure of hands on the knife and the peeler and the board while cooking. Thoughts of generosity, concern, gratitude, content, peace, judging feeling, ego, all noted during the day. Acceptance of the cold weather compared to the usual complaining mind also observed. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, in your report, you have mentioned that while experiencing cold sensations in your body, certain parts are warm. That very observation is valuable. That very observation represents our practice. Usually what happens is that if the body is cold, we say that the cold sensations I feel. We get caught in that process. But what happens is that if you look hard enough, if you keep observing, then you start to see that certain areas are not cold. In such certain warm sensations are also there. That very observation, the way of looking is important. Otherwise, what happens is that we usually get caught in the very first thing. The very prominent thing, the very first thing that we experience, we get caught in it. But the mindful practitioner, they try to see through these experiences. When they try that in their mind, they start to see, although the body is having mostly cold sensations, certain parts are warm. Let's say you are having a toothache. Usually what happens is that our attention directly goes to this tooth that is aching. But if you have this mindful attitude, if you know how to observe, then you realize that although a tooth is aching, there are so many teeth that are not aching. In sitting practice, most people complain that they can't, you know, maintain the posture. They feel pain, neck pains, back pains, knee pains. They complain about those things. But if you know mindfulness, instead of bringing your attention to the aching back or pain in knee, instead if you turn your attention towards the other knee, that knee is totally peaceful. Or the other areas of your body, instead of the back or the neck, then those areas are totally peaceful. That very observation, that very seeing through is important. That very outlook or the look that we are having, that we call the mindfulness. Otherwise, we are caught on the very first thing that we see. Milarepa, he says that if you throw stones at a dog, the dog will go after the stones and start biting them. But if you throw stones at a lion, instead of going after the stone, the lion will look for the source. That's how the lions observe. And Milarepa says nobody dares to throw a stone at a lion for the second time. Why? Because it is coming towards the source of that stone. Right? So that very attitude in our mind is important. Otherwise, we are getting caught all the time. For the very first thing that appears, we get caught. But the mindful practitioner, they keep this open mind. They just keep observing. And when mostly the body is having cold sensations, certain parts are warm. When I'm having these type of thoughts, I'm having other type of thoughts as well. When I'm feeling irritations in my body, stressful. That way you have to continue your observation. When you continue that observation, one thing happens. Now in your report, if you listen from carefully from the beginning to the end, you can really see this. You can't reach to a conclusion. Sometimes the ego is there, sometimes it's not there. Sometimes these destructive thoughts are there, sometimes positive thoughts are there. Sometimes pain is there, sometimes pleasure is there. You can't really come into a conclusion. If you read that report from the beginning to the end, so many details are there, so many incidents are there, so many faces are there. when you see them all, when you listen to them all, you can't really come into a conclusion. That's why we say one moment you are happy, next moment you are sad. Who are you? Instead of coming into a conclusion, just keep asking this question. Keep having that open mind. Just keep observing. Some people, they come and blame you. It's natural that your mind tries to label them as enemies or foe. Some people, they come and praise you. Then your mind labels them as friends. But instead of putting a label, we keep observing, we keep that open mind. If you keep observing those so-called enemies, you'll realize they are not so bad. If you keep observing those so-called friends, you'll realize they are not really friends. That very open-mindedness is important. Otherwise, we make so many mistakes. We make repetitive mistakes. We make the same mistake again and again because we are getting caught in the very first thing that appears. So that openness in your mind is very important. That openness we can see in the report. Just keep observing. Continue that very observation.
Thank you, Bhante. I will move to the next one. Dear Bhante, I have so much gratitude to my teachers for showing me the path. I am suffering deeply since my husband left me to pursue his path, but the suffering that I experience does not stay. It's miraculous. It does come in waves, but when there is enough mindful energy, it can be transformed and joy arises. Sometimes it's unbearable. I feel for other people that are going through these deep emotions and connect with them more. Although the pain is hard, being with it is the only way to transform it. I let nature take its course and don't fight with reality. Thank you once more for your guidance. I'm able to generate more compassion, and when aversion comes, I'm able to transform it. I will continue to practice. Much merit to you.
Yes, so those things, they come in waves. That's why when you mentioned the very first incident, right, you thought that that was the most difficult part. But when you go through time, when you allow time to pass, you realize one wave comes, it hits. Then after a break, another wave comes, right? So this way, they appear as waves. When some serious situation happens, when so traumatic situation happens, it's natural that they come again and again. So you have to allow that process to happen. Don't try to, you know, get rid of it. Instead, just feel the pain. Feel this deep pain that is arising from you. If you can't bear it, then there are certain precautions you can take. Now, in Sigmund Freud's teachings, he say sublimation. Sublimation is turning this negative energy into something positive. Like, let's say somebody is suffering with anger. That person is having anger issues. So instead of, you know, fighting everybody around their life, fighting the people on the streets, this person goes and do boxing. So inside the ring, you can fight, you can express your anger, but outside the ring, you can't express it. That is the rule. That is the rule. So this type of a healing process can release you from the anger. That is one thing. Then the other thing is, it can make you a great boxer. Right? Instead of fighting everywhere, that person can let his anger out inside the ring, not outside. That's why those boxing matches, sometimes you see they fight in the ceremony. In those, you know, beautiful clothes, they start fighting. That's not the sport. That's not proper. Instead, when you get into the ring, you can fight. You can express your anger. Outside of it, you can't. So that's the rule for boxing, right? So that way, it is called sublimation. Having these anger issues, instead of, you know, creating a mess out of it, you find a certain way and you direct it. It's like creating electricity out of water. If you just allow the water to flow, then it's a flood. But you create a dam, you direct, you channel it. And as a result, you can run a generator and you have this energy. That very process is called sublimation. So you can see how you can implement it in your life. Most people, they find that exercising, doing, you know, sweating for like 40 minutes or 1 hour, those things help. Exercising regularly, doing something that you like, doing something that you enjoy, those options are there. Especially if you go through these type of trauma, you have to use them. And it's not harmful. It's good for your body. It's good for your mind. Right? So those certain ways are there. You have to find your unique ways. You have to find your unique ways. That way we face this. Otherwise, you can just sit and experience this. But sometimes it becomes difficult. It's difficult to bear. When you feel that there's difficulty, you can find ways to, you know, let it out. That way you have to be skillful. Otherwise, we are getting defeated due to the strength, due to the intensity of these experiences. So in everybody, they have to find their own unique ways. When troubles come, you have to somehow survive. That surviving process, you have to be mindful, make sure that it is not destructive. Most people, they are doing destructive things, harming themselves and their families as well. But the skillful person, although it is difficult, although it is unbearable, they know how to handle it. They know how to channel it, putting some effort or, you know, energy towards something that you enjoy, exercising, doing some kind of a project, keeping yourself busy. Those things are alternatives. Those things are solutions. I find it's good for me to, you know, work out. That I like. I don't get much opportunity to work out. But somehow I find opportunities during our work projects. We do certain things. You know, taking an axe and, you know, splitting wood for 30, 40 minutes. Very nice. Very nice. And you are expressing all your anger, thinking about your husband and, you know, splitting wood. Right? So that's how the sublimation works. Then teaching others, using your own experience to teach others. That too is a way of, you know, release. You are not directly saying, but instead you use that experience to teach others. And one day you have high energy, the teaching, it's full of energy. One day you are so down low and the teaching feels depressing. That's how it is, right? So you have to find your own ways. You have to find your unique ways. That way we have to skillfully face these deep trauma in our life. Thank you for sharing. And just continue with this process and you will feel much better with time. Time is the thing. Time will do the magic. If you keep continuing in this process, time will heal us.
Thank you, Bhante. That is the end of all the reports we have. It's now time for questions. If anyone has any questions, please raise your Zoom hand or ask the question on the chat. We can read out for you. And we let you unmute and ask the questions. I can't see any hands raised, and it's almost looking like we've got no questions today. In that case, maybe I will hand over to Namantha.
Yes, thank you very much, and much merit Sonali for conducting the Q&A session, and Bante, much merit to Bante, and thank you for excellent guidance and advice based on the reports today. So we are bringing the session to a close with that, and I would like to thank Venerable Bante and share all the merits gained, and wish that Bante will have a great new year, and will advance in the practice of mindfulness throughout. I would also like to wish and share these merits to have a very positive impact on the most venerable Bante Udayaregam Dhammajiva Mahathero, the chief abbot of the Nisaranone Forest Monastery, who insightfully requested this program to be realized in this manner, and we are benefiting based on that request. So we would wish him good health and long life, and that wish him that all the work that he does is accomplishing great success throughout. I would also like to share and pass these merits to the committed team of organizers behind this program, who work behind the scenes to keep the program running well. Furthermore, I would like to thank all of you who have joined through the live stream over Facebook as well as this Zoom session, and wish that these merits will have a positive impact on you, and that you are able to practice mindfulness and develop great abilities to cope with whatever life tends to bring towards you. So with that, I must also mention that the program will run same way starting next week, Saturday at the same time. And I would like to invite you to continuously log on to the program, and also to send reports of your practice. Written reports add a lot of value to you. When you write about your own practice, they will strengthen your understanding of the practice further and further. So with that, I would close the session, and wish you a happy and mindful New Year ahead. Thank you.